Kevin Gausman. He was supposed to throw today. Didn't really bounce back from his bullpen. Just with some general shoulder fatigue. Had an MRI. No structural concerns, no injury. So we'll just reevaluate him in a couple days.
Is this something that he was battling out throughout camp, or did it just...
No, kind of just popped up. Didn't really bounce back after his side. We'll see how he is in a couple days.
Now, once more for the people in the back, as I always say, between start of spring training and opening day, nothing good happens. The only thing that happens is people get hurt. Maybe one or two people win jobs, but other than that, nothing good happens. So you can add Kevin Gausman to the Jays list of day-to-day folks, along with Alek Manoah. It's Blair and Barker, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Not going to make too much out of it. General shoulder fatigue. We know that Kevin Gausman is kind of on his own schedule anyhow, Kevin. I think the Jays have made that pretty clear. But as you have pointed out on almost, or as you pointed out on almost every podcast we did in the offseason, as soon as we started talking about pitching, you mentioned these guys aren't getting any younger. They've loaded up a lot of innings. Is this shoulder of a greater concern to you now than it would have been, let's say, if we were talking a 28-year-old Kevin Gausman and he just kind of felt a little
fatigued? Yeah, I think so. Well, look, he's young. He would have been younger, so you wouldn't put too much emphasis
That's
on
That's what I'm saying. This is more serious. But because of his age, we have to look at this with a greater degree of concern.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think John coming out and saying it's, you know, they've done everything they're supposed to do, checking it out, making sure. Like, it's when the heart rate goes up and you're trying to strike dudes out, which I'm sure that's what he did in his last side session, is, you know, the fastball's coming off the fingers a little bit harder. The location, he's putting a little bit more oomph into it. He wants the split finger to tunnel longer. He wants it to be the same velocity that it is in the regular season, because, you know, it's getting to that point where closer you get to live action means walking between the lines, the crowd's yelling and screaming your name. You know, you tend to do a little, some things a little tougher or harder than you normally do them. So, not for me. He's a veteran guy. He's been around a long time. It's, you know, are they going to take care of him, careful with him? Absolutely. I mean, pitching and defense probably will take this team where they're ultimately going to go. But, you know, it's like the Alek Manoah thing. This is, if you would have told me after his first start that he would have had shoulder problems, that wouldn't have surprised me, because he's out here trying to make a team. He's trying to impress. He had an awful season the year before. This is why spring training for some matter. Like, it matters how they look and how they go about their business, and, you know, how every start looks the way it's supposed to look when you're trying to help a team win a championship and trying to bounce back like Alek Manoah. So, yeah, I don't think the Gausman thing's that big of a deal until they actually tell you that. Now, if this goes another week and we have not heard about him being on a mound, ask me the question then.
So you're not worried?
No.
Damn, I figured you would be. It's right in your wheelhouse.
Sorry about it. Got to be optimistic a little bit, right? And again, you look at the strength of this team. It is, I mean, there's some unknowns with Alek, but, you know, the sinker command will get better. The break on the slider was really good his last outing. We know how it looked, how the outcome was in the inning and however many pitches, 38 pitches he threw, but the velocity was there for the most part. He was finishing the way he was supposed to finish. Now it's refined sinker command, continue to do the slider stuff. He does that, and, right, Gausman's a two-pitch guy. Like, this, these little aches and pains when you get a little older, they're just going to be a little bit more cautious because of how much he means to the team and where he's at in his career, which makes a ton of sense.
So, Alek Manoah, if you're just catching up with us, he had soreness in his right shoulder as well. He had an MRI. There is no damage. Yariel Rodriguez, I believe, is back on the mound or close to getting back on the mound. He had back spasms. Ricky Tiedemann did throw a sim game on the weekend. He was on the IL already, or not IL, pardon me, but he was day-to-day with a hamstring injury. All of them, of course, reporting to camp in the best shape they've ever been in. I guess the big news, well, there's a little bit of news before he came in the air. It doesn't involve the Jays. Zach Wheeler signed the largest, or has agreed to the largest contract extension in baseball history in terms of annual average value, $42 million over 3 years with the Philadelphia Phillies. And of course, this weekend, Matt Chapman signing a one-year deal for $350,000 less in guaranteed money than he would have received if he'd taken the Jays offer of, or the Jays qualifying offer. And it's a, for collective or for competitive balance tax purposes, it's a 3 year, $54 million contract. 1 year and $20 million is guaranteed. And then there's two options and then a mutual option in the fourth year of the deal. So Matt Chapman now with the San Francisco Giants. And of course, predictably, Blue Jays fans have taken a very measured had a very measured response to that. I think, look, and I'm not going to say that. I wrote myself. I would love, Matt Chapman wouldn't have been my first choice going into the offseason, but where we are right now, IKF or Matt Chapman at third base, to me, it's a no-brainer. Anyhow, Matt Chapman is off the table. There are no position player free agents of consequence. So, folks, this looks like the lineup you're going to have, unless, you know, perhaps the Jays go after a J.D. Davis or something like that. He's going to be out of a job in San Francisco. So, Kevin, I know we're going to talk a lot about what we saw in the week. I want to talk about Bowden Francis, Davis Schneider. I want to talk about Alejandro Kirk. You saw some good things out of him.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have F.P. Santangelo on later to talk about Matt Chapman, F.P. Santangelo, the radio host in San Francisco now. Your thoughts on Matt Chapman, the contract? I think we kind of thought, did we not, at the end of the year last year, just from people we'd spoken to, kind of got the sense that both sides had sort of, it's not that they'd gotten sick and tired of each other, but I think both sides were kind of prepared, is a nice way of putting it, for the possibility that that relationship was over.
Yeah, you know, assuming that they'd had talks about coming back and one side, whatever side that would be, had decided that that was not the right place and they were going to move on. If you're Matt, you can't, you know, you put all your eggs in one basket with the agent that you have, thinking that you're trying to get a big deal. And that's, you know, that's sort of the thing, man. Boy, just it's something, right? I mean, you're mid, it's the drilling and
we just started hearing drilling again.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
yeah.
It's Toronto. Like, is that to surprise you whatsoever?
It's not Toronto.
It's not Toronto?
It's not Toronto. It's just a thing. It's just a thing.
The drilling?
The drilling's a thing. Anyhow, continue. Our listeners and our viewers don't care about it.
Good for him. I mean, I don't say good for him, but at least he's playing and he has an opportunity now. Now, offensively, is that the best place for him to play his 81 home games? Probably not. I mean, everybody can remember here in Blue Jay land when he lays into one and it doesn't go where he think it should go. Well, the wind blows in weird ways and it's cold most of the time in San Francisco. You're probably going to see a ton of that. Like, a lot of the times he's up the middle, the perfect swing, thinking about back spinning balls to right center. I mean, there ain't too many humans that are right-handed that play their home games in San Francisco who can do that to right center. So, you know, I don't know offensively what it's going to bring there, the challenges.
Can I just jump in?
But good for him that he's playing. I mean, he's going to make their team better. They got a rotation full of dudes that throw ground balls.
Yeah.
He's one of the better defenders at third, so he's going to help their team when it comes to that side of the ball.
I want to throw this in because I thought of you when I read this story last week, and I wanted to bring it up, and now, of course, we can with Chapman signing in San Francisco. J.D. Martinez turned down a contract offer from the Giants, and to paraphrase him, not the best place for a right-handed hitter. Something you've always said whenever we've brought up San Francisco as a possibility, you said, man, if you're a right-handed hitter, why would you want to go there?
Yeah.
I just found that intriguing that J.D. Martinez saying, frankly, I'd rather be unemployed than hit in San Francisco.
I like to think that I was one of the better 5 o'clock hitters in all the baseball. I laid into balls there to right center. They don't go anywhere. To you think that you're, and you could say, Chappie is one of those perfect swing guys, right?
Yes, he is.
If you collapse the backside too much, the elbow doesn't go where it's supposed to go. You know, he's trying to lead with the elbow. He's sort of in that camp with Bo Bichette, where that's keep the barrel in the hitting zone a long time. And when it doesn't work out, and then you overswing, you chase pitches you shouldn't be chasing. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, this is probably their first choice. It may be getting to where it might have been their only choice. And when it's your only choice and you don't have a ton of say-so, when you want to play and you make the money that you think you can make at that time, he's got some opt-outs, and I'm sure that's going to happen.
Well, he does. He's got
– I just don't –
Yeah,
he's – Make sure you're a really good hitter on the road. How about that? Like, try that. And, you know, defensively, I don't think it'll be – you know, I think metrics are saying, at least the smart khakis are trying to tell us that – some of that, you know, first move side to side, catching balls on the runs went down a little bit with Chappie, but nobody can argue. Catches the ball right at him. He'll turn the double play. They got a decent pitching staff. He'll do that part of it.
He's a California dude.
Offensively,
he knows Bob Melvin, Farhan Zaid.
I don't think he cares about any of that. He's all about trying to get as much money as he possibly can.
I think he made it.
There was other options he wanted to.
I think he made it clear that he wanted to stay on the West Coast. Maybe too clear. And maybe that's one of the reasons.
I mean, the 4.5 months he had at the end of the season sort of goes where you're not making your own choices anymore.
So Matt Chapman ain't walking through the door.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If he did, that change how you feel about their offense?
Well, I think he's a better hitter than IKF. Yeah. Would it change? Yeah, it would. I think he's a better hitter than Kiner Falefa. And he's a better defender. I'll ask you this. Are they a better team with Matt Chapman or Isaiah Kiner Falefa playing third base every day? Are they a better team?
Defensively.
Offensively? You'd rather have Isaiah Kiner Falefa and what he's going to give you.
I don't really want either one of them.
Well, you got to choose. I'm asking you to choose one of the two. That's the choice here. I'm not asking you to choose Alex Bregman. I'm saying you got a choice here. That's what it came down to. You asked me. Are they a better offensive team with Chapman than they are with Kiner Falefa?
Some could say both would hit eighth in your order this year.
Who's going to hit 20 home runs? Who's got a better chance at 20 home runs? Who's going to play better defense? I mean, they're a better team with Matt Chapman than with Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
Isaiah Kiner Falefa is a really good defender.
He's not Matt Chapman.
He's really good defender.
He's okay.
You're
not
going to miss a beat with him playing third base defensively. It's the offensive side of the ball.
Man.
It's run prevention.
You got a lot of faith in that gold glove from about 4 years ago, was it?
They yell and scream about some.
Anyhow. Okay, so if you think Isaiah Kiner Falefa is a better defender than Matt Chapman,
I never said that. You're asking me who I would rather have on the team. And is there options that you would like to look outside that? Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we said that at the start.
And if I could get Matt Chapman for $17 million for 1 year, probably. What is he making this year?
$18 plus $2 million
bonus.
Yeah,
I mean, that's...
Yeah. So there we go. So we agreed. We basically spent 4 minutes arguing about the fact that we agree.
Wasn't really an argument.
No, it wasn't. That's true. We don't really argue
anymore. No.
So there you go. So Matt Chapman, as we mentioned, with the San Francisco Giants. FP Santangelo joins us later on. Giants, Blake Snell is still out there. JD Martinez is still out there. Farhan Zaidi said, I'm done. We're done. No more major ads. I don't necessarily believe that for a second. Let's see what they get if they do trade JD Davis. Let's see what they get in return, and let's see where they go from there. I do know this. If I'm San Francisco and I can add Blake Snell, the Dodgers are really good. The Diamondbacks went to the World Series. But if I'm the Giants and I add Blake Snell, I'm not conceding. I'm not conceding the West to a playoff spot to Arizona.
I think some people are saying that are in the mix for Blake Snell is why would you give him $200+ million, which is what the word is that his camp is wanting for a guy that will give you five innings. Now the five innings is elite, but it's five innings most of the time. Why would you do that? You need more 7 and 8 inning guys out of that if you're going to pay that much money for it. And
it's rare that
you get that. Yeah, I'm not saying all the time.
There aren't a lot of seven or eight inning guys out there, but occasionally. All right, let's move on to the Jays, shall we? They will play the Philadelphia Phillies today, and we will have the game on Sportsnet. First pitches at 1:07. Dan Shulman, Buck Martinez, Arden Zwelling. It'll be streaming online with Ben Shulman as well. Again, 1:07 first pitch. The Jays not hitting much so far this spring. Not as bad as the St. Louis Cardinals, who I believe have not yet hit a home run this spring, which is odd. Although spring training doesn't matter, right, Kevin? You saw some good things this week. You saw some good things this weekend out of the Blue Jays, results aside. Where do you want to start? Let's start with Bowden Francis because
Let's not. We've talked enough about the pitching. He's if it continues to go the way it goes,
all right,
he'll make a start sometime early in the season.
But I was going to say, I think given the setbacks that Gausman and Manoah have suffered, he becomes even more important. Okay, we'll move on from there. Let's talk about the hitting. Let's talk about Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah, I mean it's. Yeah, I know everybody that roots for Kirk, and I'm one of those guys. Like the bat to ball skills, the line to line stuff, the being able to hit pitches in quadrants is not the easiest thing to do. And when he had his good year, he could do that better than most. And you're just seeing he doesn't look like he's walking to the plate and thinking about where the parts are headed, right? It's not, I turn my knee, my foot lands, my hands set, my hands lead the direction of the barrel to where it ultimately wants to, I want it to go because of where the pitch ends up. You don't see any of that. It's just, I do it with my lower half and my hands follow and I'm not thinking about it and I get to my finish. And, you know, that's kind of nice because you're going to need a little bit of a surprise at the bottom of the order. You're going to need some help down there to flip it over and that's, you know, to have a little bit.
You need internal improvement. You need Vladdy and Kirk are the two guys that I think need to improve and George Springer. I mean, we're at the point now where, again, nobody's walking through the door to help this team offensively. So you need those three guys in particular to improve.
Well, yeah, I think we've been saying that for quite some time, but it's a very these approaches, I hate to tell people, are not team-wide. They're very individual. What did you not do last year that you thought you could do better? And Kirky, it was don't have as many parts. Try not to think your way through it. If your lower half is good, I don't know why I did that. It's maybe he's playing too much. Maybe he's too, you know, condition-wise needs to improve on that, which it sounds like he's done that. So it just looks like optics where when you're watching some better hitters in the big leagues, and the Blue Jays got some really good hitters, that when they get their pitch, they hammer that thing somewhere. It's just starting to look like that from Kirky. Like, I know it's only a couple of bats. Everybody rolls their eyes in spring training. Doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. Like, it does to guys. The results probably don't matter.
But the process
if you're,
matters. If the results don't matter.
It means that if I lay off pitchers' pitches and if I do the things that I worked on in the offseason, my barrel should direct the baseball to where it should go. And that's not thinking about it. That's just because I work so hard and I walk to the plate, and because I'm already on the team, I don't really have to worry about results and hitting 330 in camp and making a team, and it's just about me turning the corner when it comes to that. And he's one of those guys, and you root for him. When he's like this, it's a lot of fun to watch because not a lot of people can do that. He doesn't have tremendous rotation with his lower half.
Hmm.
It's not like he's going to buggy whip balls and have the big finish and hold that. No, he rarely has really elite turn with his back foot, and to be able to see him to do things like this is pretty cool. So you want Kirky to have a good season. It's kind of fun to watch.
What other offensive talking points?
Well, I like Davis. I mean, David Schneider looks like, what he's going to have to do is, everybody knows. I mean, we've talked to this, right? I mean, he's not going to determine the outcome of the season. He can only help the season, right? It's, you know, sort of the Jays are fighting for one of those two final wild card spots. And offensively, guys like Davis Schneider can help it look a little easier for everybody involved if he, when a pitcher messes up and, you know, is trying to go to his weakness, misses down the middle, and he hits a ball out of the park to the pull side, which is what, for my mind, he'll have to do. And it just looks free and easy. And he ain't overthinking that, and he hits it, ball comes off his bat, he don't have to watch where it goes, he puts his head down and runs when the ball is where he wants it to be. So that was kind of nice to see. I know confidence-wise he needs a few more of that, and I think the people around him watching him need a little bit of confidence too when they see the ball come off the barrel like that.
It is really strange though. People seem to have guaranteed him a spot in the team.
Sounds like it.
And, you know, I would, again, injuries happen. They've got to make room for Daniel Vogelbach and Ernie Clement, or they don't have to make room. Let me rephrase that. But they might want to make room for them. Daniel Vogelbach, okay, he's already pissed off Garrett Cole after that slow home run trot on Friday. Daniel Vogelbach. But he's not going to run around the bases anyhow. I mean, I thought that was max speed for him. So Garrett Cole, of course, chapped about, but that's fine. Garrett Cole, that's the way it works. Daniel Vogelbach, we know he has power. So far this spring, again, we're talking 9 at-bats, but 3 walks as well. I mean, he is a guy you want, the type of guy you would like to have on the bench at the end of the game,
like
is he not?
I like it that when you tell me to your purple that spring training stats don't matter, and the first thing out of your mouth is stats from a dude that you
I'm
think
asking
should
you.
Make the team because he's left-handed.
No. So you don't think he should make the team?
I'm not sure. Like, defensively, is he ever going to have to play defense?
That's why I'm asking you. I'm saying you've made the point about you want a guy off the bench who can hit a fastball late in the game, who can turn around on a fastball late in the game, and you want a guy who isn't going to break out in a cold sweat because he might not be playing for 3 or 4 days. You want a guy with a bit of a track record.
He's another one of those guys that don't like the elevated fastball. That's a theme in this lineup. You can't have that guy coming off. I think that's why Spencer Horowitz is intriguing for them. He's on the 40-man.
Mm-hmm.
They know he's got a short little compact swing. He can use the whole field. They've actually seen it in person. Like, you don't have to maneuver things around to put him on. You got to have a reason not to give it to Horowitz, which would mean that Vogelbach would have to stand out enough to go, man, that warrants not giving it to Horowitz and putting him in this slot and hitting one home run. And you know, this is just one of the best pitcher in the American League sometimes need motivation. That's what that was. Like, you got to read between the lines here. Like, the elite offensive and pitchers in baseball look for little things. And if it takes a Vogelbach halfway running around the bases to do it, like, if you're a Yankees fan, that's what you want to hear. Everybody else hates the Yankees, and it's good for baseball that everybody hates the Yankees. It does. So I kind of like all of that, but I just don't know what Vogelbach brings other than.
So who do you have as your extra guys right now? Keeping in mind we haven't seen Kevin Biggio, right? Kevin Biggio is expected to play at some point.
Yeah.
But I think if Kevin Biggio's healthy, he's
the second baseman every day against righties.
Correct.
And if he's hitting against righties, he'll get some time against lefties.
Exactly.
I mean, I would assume Davis Schneider. Look, that's intriguing because he can pull a homer. I mean, he can come off a bench. If he makes some adjustments on the elevated fastball, I guess you're okay with that. Ernie Clement, I like that. I mean, again, it gets back to that out of options. I mean, he's a decent enough shortstop. He's got a decent enough arm. He's got above average speed. He's intelligent on the bases. He can hit because of the compact little tight swing that he has. He can hit velocity all quadrants. That's a big deal. Sit over there for 3 days, come off, look like you've done it before. He's one of those guys for me because of that little compact short swing, and he can play multiple positions. He can play third, second, short. He can play left in a pinch if you have to have him out there. So he's got some versatility. Santiago Espinal, I'm a Giant fan. I mean, I don't know why a lot of people don't talk about him, and it just seems like the Jays have moved on, which is very, very confusing to me.
Yeah, that's, I think, why nobody talks about Santiago Espinal, is you almost get the sense, and we've had this discussion, I think we're both on the same page with Espinal, but I'm with you. You get the sense almost as if the Jays are, well, okay, we'll take him.
Santi's good at everything. He's not great at one certain thing. He's good at everything. Other than bunt, can't bunt, but who bunts now?
I was going to say, take a number.
That's like, I just don't understand that part of it. And again, I think because of how you're trying to win to get to the playoffs, you need all those extra guys and surprises that do a bunch of good things. They're not great at one specific thing, that are good at a bunch of different things. And Santiago Espinal's that for me. So he's on my team regardless. Mm-hmm. I like that. It sounds to me like he is. It's just sort of those fill in the blanks. You're taking a lefty off the bench. Do you need that? You know, would you take Ernie Clement? Does it matter if you need a lefty? Like, you know, it's what happens.
Your point about a guy like Vogelbach is well made, though. I don't know if you really want a platoon DH, and you're not going to, because Justin Turner is going to get the bulk of time DHing. When Vladdy needs a blow, you're probably going to, I mean, you can do, when Vladdy or Bo need time
Biggio.
Off, you can use Biggio, exactly. And
yeah. Turner can play a little first. Like, you got options there. I mean, it's time now to just write Vladdy's name in the lineup and leave him out there. I mean, I know they're trying and they're going to do whatever. And people are going to roll their eyes. And I'm probably in one of the in that camp of rolling your eyes. But, like, it gets back to what makes their team run with the way they're trying to force it to run. Because there's some unknowns offensively. And that's when I think those guys that normally you wouldn't pay a ton of attention to this year,
are going to be a big deal, right? It makes it easier for you to maybe pinch hit for a guy because you got this guy on the bench. You can come in and balls hit to him in the ninth inning with the bases loaded. You're okay with that. So
this,
I think that's how they work it out.
This, by the way, is the Jays lineup today. It is now out. The Jays line for the game against Philly. Again, 107 first pitch. Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Turner, Kiermaier, hitting fifth, Varsho, Kiner Falefa, Escobar, Henry. I believe Danny Jansen was supposed to play today. I don't know if he got the flu or something. A Wes Parsons starting for the Blue Jays. And again, the news as we came on the air, Kevin Gausman had an MRI. It revealed no structural damage, no injury, but he had general shoulder soreness after his last side session. Alek Manoah as well had an MRI over the weekend. Same thing, no structural damage. It was soreness in the right shoulder. And I guess, you know, that coupled with the fact that, you know, I think when you look at the Alek Manoah checklist, I'm sure the Jays will tell you they probably saw more good than bad in his first outing. But, you know, he did. I mean, he had a couple of hit batters and was all over the place at times. So you may want to
Yeah, even when he had his really good season.
I want to keep that in mind. Sorry.
He was hitting
people. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Mark. Danny Jansen is a fever. So Danny Jansen was supposed to be in the lineup.
Yeah, Manoah was hitting people when he was really good. That's sort of the when you're on the on-deck circle, that's the little fear is don't be digging in. That sort of is what comes with Alek Manoah. Now it's graduating to commanding the sinker. That whenever he pitches next, that's the thing. They're happy with the velocity. They're happy with the late tunneling of the slider. He's got two different ones. I steal a strike. I eliminate somebody with one. Now it's sinker command. Can he go up and into a righty? Can he go front hip it to a lefty? Can he, you know, throw strike one to a lefty down and away? Like, there's some things that he needs to show them that he can do. And I think there's a little pressure here, too, when you start seeing Bowden Francis. If you're Alek Manoah, you have to be going home looking in the mirror and going, huh, I need to get this going, mm-hmm. or this, that, and the other could happen because of the way Bowden Francis is. He thinks he's good, which is something to that.
He's looks awfully confident.
And 97.
We've both said that I at least he's on my team right now. Yeah, even if everybody's healthy, Bowden Francis is on my team.
That's a no-brainer. But again, they've went some directions sometimes that.
Yeah, the Phillies lineup today will be a fun one if you're watching the game. Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Castellanos, Stott, Merrifield, Johan Rojas, Aramis Garcia, Weston Wilson. Pretty good lineup.
My pick to win the World Series.
I don't think I'd argue. I'll tell you what, I'm picking them to win. I'm going to pick them or the Braves to win the National League. I don't think the Dodgers are going to win the National League. I don't want the Dodgers to win the National League.
I mean, the Dodgers are going to win 110 games. they're going to. But until the Braves can show you they can beat the Phillies, until the Dodgers can show you that health-wise in their rotation that they're good enough. Clayton Kershaw, I mean, what's he ever going to give you? So there's some unknowns.
Think old Whit Merrifield was a free agent who played his cards right.
Well, he does a lot of things. He's a smart hitter. He can do things, which, you know, if you remember correctly, the way they lost when it come to their lineup – is exactly what Witt brings.
Yep.
He's going to help that take them to it. They don't need the next level. They just need the next game.
That's a great way to put it. FP Santangelo is a host at 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. He's also a Giants radio analyst, former MLB player with the Expos, Giants, Dodgers, and A's. He joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Really, really excited about this deal. It's no secret that, you know, we have been in touch with Matt Chapman and his camp. You know, pretty much all offseason, talked about our objective of improving our defense, you know, especially in a way that benefits our pitching staff. We obviously have a ground ball heavy pitching staff, you know, with this notion of really upgrading our pitching and defense. He's really the perfect fit for this team. The plan all along has been to give our young pitchers opportunities to, you know, try to create a defense that would, you know, support them in their transition. And that's one of the reasons Matt was such a priority. So
that is San Francisco Giants general manager Farhan Zaidi after the Giants agreed to terms with Matt Chapman over the weekend. I think Friday night was when the deal was actually done. Giants president, sorry, GM, president, whatever. I mean, back in the day, he's a GM. Oh, whatever. Giants president. He's a guy that makes some major baseball decisions. The contract is guaranteed 1 year, $18 million with a $2 million bonus. There's a player option for $19 million next season, a $2 million buyout, a player option for $18 million, a $3 million buyout the year after that, and then a $20 million mutual option or a $1 million buyout. So, I mean, if you're Matt Chapman, you're guaranteed money for 1 year, and then you have the option in subsequent years.
I wonder what the conversation was like with him and his agent. I mean, I'm sure his agent is, you know, blowing smoke and say, I'm going to get you this, and then it turns out to be this. I'm sure if you're Matt, you're having the conversation. You remember what you told me? How come I got this? I would think that would be an intriguing conversation.
It's interesting, too, Matt Chapman. Now, we know that he turned down a contract extension with the Blue Jays last year or the year before. It was something like 6 years and $125 million. He also turned down a long-term extension with the Oakland Athletics in 2019. He had a chance to sign a deal with the Athletics in 2019. So he turned that down as well. But anyhow, there you go. Matt Chapman is with the San Francisco Giants. FP Santangelo is host at 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. He's a Giants radio analyst, former MLB player with the Expos, Giants, Dodgers, and A's. Mr. Santangelo, thank you for joining us on Blair and Barker today.
What's going on, man? How are we doing today? Are we talking about the Warriors coming up there and getting in at 8 in the morning and beating the Raptors by 15? Is that what we're talking about today?
Wow. Yeah, we kind of moved on.
Firing shots right out of the gate.
Yeah,
how
no,
you guys
it's
doing,
just...
Man? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's just... although I will be intrigued to see how... the Warriors rebound from that... shellacking from the Boston Celtics, which... yeah, the shot of Steph Curry sitting on the bench late in the game was rather remarkable. Not often you see Steph Curry with kind of one of those, what the hell am I seeing? Like, is it going to stop?
JB, you know, you lived a life for so long. You know, when you get in somewhere at 8 in the morning and you play a game that night and it's back-to-backs and you have the weird travel thing where the plane breaks down, you sit on the tarmac. You got to pay the piper sooner or later. I mean, these guys aren't machines, so.
Yeah.
The Celtics are really good, and the Warriors were not yesterday, but whatever. We're here to talk some baseball. So
absolutely.
I got to ask you guys questions. You know more about Chapman than I do. When he was in Oakland, right across the bay here, I was back east in D.C. So, I mean, I've seen highlights. He looks like a great third baseman. And then I look at the numbers, and he's a .240 career hitter, and he hit 17 home runs in a very hitter-friendly ballpark last year. So I need the scouting report from you guys. What do you got?
I'll pass it over to Mr. Barker here.
Yeah, look, I think in 2023, most of the time if you're right-handed, even if you're left-handed, it's the elevated fastball. That's sort of the kryptonite for a lot of guys. And then because you're thinking lead with the elbow, when me and you played, it was – you know, lead with the bottom hand. The barrel's the last thing you see. That's not the way it is anymore. And how do you combat that? You throw the elevated fastball, especially the taller guys like Matt is, and he stands a little taller. He's got some, you know, some crouch in his backside, and that adds a little uppercut. So, yeah, I just don't think he likes the elevated fastball. That's why, for me, this move to San Francisco wasn't on purpose. This is sort of, I need to play. Hurry up and get me a job. Is it San Francisco? Okay. Because I don't know if you know, but right center in San Francisco, which is where he likes to have the bat path, doesn't carry too well there. So be intriguing to see how that goes.
Yeah, there's this thing called a high tee, and you put the ball up way high, and you work on pounding down. I saw a video with A-Rod and Mike Trout the other day where Trout has been working on that because that's the hole in his swing. And, yeah, the four-seam fastball elevated with two strikes right now is in vogue. So we'll see. But the Giants, you guys heard Farhan, you know, the sound bite from Farhan, they need to get better defensively. They got a lot of ground pitchers, whether it's Logan Webb or Alex Cobb. And there's been some frustration over the last couple of years about the defense. And my thing is, you know, you guys have seen this a lot in baseball now where they plug in guys to positions. And as a former utility player, you know, I take great pride in the fact that, like, whatever position, Jeff, you saw me, like, whatever position I played that day, I didn't want people to think I was a utility player, you know. But in today's game, you see a lot of teams just plug guys in. So there's playing a position, they're standing at a position. And I think a lot of times when you sacrifice defense for your lineup and you're like, oh, go play first today, and you've never played first, or go try out third today and see how that goes, your defense is going to suffer. And I think due to injuries and maybe philosophy, the Giants over the last couple of years have put guys in positions, and it's not their position. They infrequently play there. So, you know, therein you're going to get a not good defense, and that's what we've seen. So now you got an everyday third baseman, Gold Glover last year, guy that can absolutely pick it. You got Hooley in center field who can go get them. So now all of a sudden, I think the game is getting back to athleticism and speed. You're seeing stolen bases. You're seeing guys go first to third. It's a more exciting brand of baseball with an emphasis on defense and base running without the shift. So I don't know. The Giants need to get more athletic, and they did. So adding a guy like Chapman with all the ground ball pitchers is nothing but a good thing. But then it impedes some younger guys. So we'll see what they do with a guy named Casey Schmidt who is Gold Glove quality third baseman, but a young kid that had a lot of swing and miss last year. And then they got Luciano at shortstop, who is a really big kid at shortstop. He almost looked like a Cespedes playing shortstop. So we'll see how that works, but the kid can hit. So a lot of question marks with the Giants, but they answered some.
I was going to say, what does this mean for J.D. Davis? Like he must have woken up yesterday and gone, what?
Yeah, I mean, he's a local guy. So, you know, he grew up in Sacramento, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's about an hour and a half from San Francisco. So it was kind of cool for him to come home and play at home last year. And he had a really good first half and, you know, maybe wasn't used to playing that much and kind of fizzled out. I don't know if it was fatigue or mental fatigue as he got in the second half last year. But he's a guy that can run into one. He really improved defensively at third. So he'd be value to any team. I mean, I don't know what your guys' situation is at third base up there, but like, he's a good player, man. He's a solid baseball player.
Can he hit?
He can. He's a guy that's right center field that gets inside of the baseball. Right center is his power alley. And, you know, if you make a mistake in off speed, he'll pull you out of the ballpark. But he's got some big time pop.
FP, you know, you're a perfect guy to ask this because you played in San Francisco. You're a local dude. You know, we had Buster Posey come out earlier this year and talk about the problem the team has luring free agents, some of the social issues in San Francisco, which quite frankly, a lot of cities have. But then he had J.D. Martinez the other day essentially talking about, right-handed hitter. I don't know if that's really my preferred destination. Is this turning into an issue for the Giants that, you know, the ability to attract elite players? And should that park be that much of an issue for right-handed hitters?
Well, I mean, that park has always been there, and there's been some pretty damn good right-handed hitters that have played there, and they've done pretty well. So, I mean, I don't think the city's an issue. I live in downtown San Francisco. I mean, every city has its issues right now, and I think the perception and the reality are two different things in the city. Like, the reality isn't good, but the perception is way worse than the reality about what's going on in the city. And I don't pretend to know or get into anything political, so I stay away from that stuff. But, it didn't bother Barry Bonds. It didn't bother – I mean, Juan Soto came there last year and hit balls out, but those are left-handed hitters. They moved the fence in center field a couple of years ago. If I want to put up numbers, I think you have to pay free agents through their free agency, so to speak, right? So you just get them here. And then you pay them so that their numbers aren't really conducive to the next contract. So you pay for two contracts. The Giants have historically developed hitters from within the organization. I don't think anyone's going to go like, oh, I'm going to go to Oracle Park and hit 50. It's not like Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati or Coors Field in Colorado, or even, I don't even know what they call your guys' place anymore. Because is it Rogers Center?
Rogers Center.
That's it. Okay. That's conducive to hitting. So it's a great place to pitch. I hope they get Blake Snell. They got a really good pitching staff and a really good bullpen. So, but as far as offense goes, I mean, I think moving forward, the Giants are really going to have to focus on developing hitters within the organization because I don't think it has anything to do with the city. Sometimes guys don't want to play in the cold. So I don't know. It's a storied franchise with an amazing history and three World Series. in 10, 12, and 14. And my take is, if you don't want to play here, don't play here, because it's an honor to wear the orange and black. It was one of the coolest years I've ever had, and I've been with the organization a long time, and I grew up a Giants fan. So I'm a little bit biased, but, like, why wouldn't you want to play for this organization? They got a great coaching staff now with Bob Melvin. It's a great place to play baseball. The fans are amazing. The ballpark's amazing. Okay, so it doesn't fly in right center field. I mean, you can find something wrong with any place if you look hard enough.
Yeah, do they have to draft differently offensively to cater to that park? Do they go after lefties instead of righties? Is it a minor league approach that, you know, you stay in the big part of the field with line drives? You don't get party out front too often because of the park. Is that a thing, or you just don't think about it?
No, I think the Giants' philosophy is draft the best athlete available in their slot. I don't think they're going to draft certain players because of their ballpark. I don't think it's that much of an issue. You just want to get good athletes in your system.
FP, we appreciate you joining us, man. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great show. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. FP Santangelo of 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, Giants radio analyst, former MLB player. And that's interesting hearing FP talk about that, about the Giants. And that is a way around it, right? If you're not going to be able to attract free agents, it's one of the things the Jays did relatively well in between their World Series years and up to the Donaldson/Batista years, is they did, I mean, their top picks weren't great, but they did develop guys like Vernon Wells, Alex Rios, of course, Roy Halladay. It's different, he's a pitcher. But if you're going to have a hard time attracting free agents, you have to really know what you're doing internally to develop hitters. And you made a great point. Maybe if you're the Giants, you draft a whole bunch of lefty hitters and you try to teach the quote-unquote Giants way.
Yeah, maybe. Look, I think it's when you're trying to run prevent to make the playoffs, it's not the most fun way to run out of product. We're sort of watching that a little bit right here take place in Blue Jay land. But you can do it. Even in the American League East, the Rays have done it for a long time. You can do it if it's good enough. And I'm just not sure, being realistic, in the division you play in and that behemoth called the Dodgers, I mean, you're sort of fighting for other positions. You ain't fighting for winning your division. So, yeah, look, it's catch the balls, don't beat yourself, win a lot of 4-2 games, and maybe they're trying to do that.
Yeah, and they do have, you know, the makings of the – you've talked about this. The pitching staff is a ground ball staff, so they do have the makings of there's something going on there. But it's just to win that division, I almost think you need – to be able to bring in a big free agent. Because, you know, the dudes south of you, the Dodgers are doing it. You know San Diego can bring in free agents. Nobody's going to go, I don't want to live in San Diego. You know San Diego can bring in free agents. And Arizona's kind of got it going on as well. 107 is the first pitch today, the Jays and the Phillies. I want to talk about Jordan Romano. The Jays have got most of their A relievers lined up to go this afternoon against Philadelphia. Jordan Romano, one of them. Now, again, it's early in spring, but you picked this up, Jordan Romano's the first time you saw Jordan Romano throwing. I'm going to remind people, Barker's going to be down to Florida next week, so we'll get more, I guess, eyewitness testimony about how these guys look. You saw something, though, from Jordan Romano, and you kind of done some digging about Jordan Romano. And let's be clear. Both of us, you've asked me the question all the time, is Jordan Romano, can you see him closing out a game in the World Series? And
yeah, I think
I kind of shrugged. But you've kind of tweaked onto something here.
I think it is the, when you see him throw 60 innings in the regular season, at the end of that, when it seems to matter the most with the Blue Jays because of what they're trying to do as an organization, it's hard for him to outstuff people. You saw when he's healthy, raring, and ready to go and not abused. Now, it's the first couple outings. I mean, it's just free and easy. Like, he wasn't trying to force velocity. He wasn't trying to force break. That thing is moving all over the place. He was locating it. Like, if somebody took a big daddy hack on him the other day, he'd throw a slider. It would just break more. Mm-hmm. It was like almost, I know, I see you. Hit this one. And how do you get that from him in September and early October? And it's the difference for me in 10 innings. How do you get him to low 50s instead of low 60s? That's a giant deal. 10 innings means the heart rate don't go up as much. I can settle back and watch the guy, you know, somebody else, whether that's Chad Green or Genesis Cabrera or whoever else you want to
throw. That's the next question.
Yeah, Swanson. I mean, he may not even be on the team
Jimmy
yet.
Garcia.
Jimmy Garcia. Like that, I do think to start the season, they do have other options. But I think you could be on to something there by, you know, can you – I think the big question they would have, and that's obvious, is because of how good the American League is, East is, and how bad you were in your division last year, can you afford to give him breaks? I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
It's almost like you go your best, you win the games you think you're supposed
to
be winning.
You got to win today's game.
No matter where it's at. And I'm just not sure. Yeah. He's probably your better, if not your best, bullpen arm. And when you need it early in the season, because you know how it's going to look, mm-hmm. and it's about as sure thing as it's going to get, can you afford to not throw him because you want to save him for September and October? It's a tall order, but boy, you can't argue the stuff. He looks slimmer. It looked freer and easier. Hit looked smarter. I talk about Kirky. Like, mm-hmm. it just didn't look like he's thinking his way through. That was Romano. That's the first thing I noticed was he saw somebody take a big giant hack that he didn't know, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll throw you a better one. And the dude looked silly, and he struck him out. It just tells you his top end will work in the end of September and October. It's just how do you get him there?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they can do it because division they play in, and
I think
all the games matter.
The Jays were telling us that last year when they went out and got Jordan Hicks. Now, it didn't work out the way they wanted, but they were telling that us last year when they went out and got Jordan Hicks. And you know, again, I know people are up in arms about Matt Chapman and that, but one thing I will say for Ross Atkins is they've added relief arms in season every year that they've been here, and it's why I was – when you were talking about that, it got me thinking a little bit about what we may see this team do down the road. But the point is, early in the year, you're right. If you're going to beat the Yankees, you're going to have to use Jordan Romano to beat the Yankees. You've got to have somebody else, though, ready to early in the year
see,
to do it.
See, other guys in the rotation that are not – like Gausman, I mean, if he misses a couple of starts, you'd have to lean on more of your experience in the pen.
Right.
Romano's one of those guys. Like, it's
– Can Cabrera – is there anything you see in Cabrera that suggests he might be able to be elevated to a more responsible role at some point?
I think he's in that. Like, I responsible is get Soto out. I mean, that's pretty big. In the seventh inning with a dude at second base, he's going to get.
You
some
don't
of
see
the,
him getting eighth, ninth inning.
Why would you?
Like, I'm just asking because we've got if we're operating under the, and I agree with you, we're operating under the assumption that you don't want to burn Romano out, but you got to have someone else who can strike who can close out a game at Yankee Stadium for him. I'm just wondering if we have anybody.
I think when Swanson's back, they got Jimmy Garcia, Trevor Richards has shown you he can go multiple innings. I'm sure he'll get some of that early in season. It's going to be intriguing. Again, I don't want to keep bringing this up and harshing on it, but it's about scoring runs. If they score more runs, it will allow them to, you know, give dudes breathers and be able to use them the way they want to use them. If it's a lot of 4-2 games early in the season, because you got to think about this. It's about, if you want to make the playoffs, it's six teams are fighting for two spots.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
You got to figure, at least in my mind, it's the Yankees, Twins, and Astros, and Orioles, and then everybody else. You got six teams fighting for two spots. That's, like, there's some where it's going to be tough if you have a stretch where you're 2-12 because of how many teams are fighting for those two spots.
What do you need to see from Chad Green to suggest that he might be the guy that can help early?
He's going to get chances because of experience, but it's the breaking ball. The velocity's there most of the time. The location's there. I mean, can he be a little bit unpredictable with his pitches? Can he locate it? Can he throw a good slider to a right-handed hitter or a good breaking ball, whatever you want to call that thing, to somebody that can hit? We'll see.
107, game time this afternoon, the Jays and the Phillies. We'll be back tomorrow from 11 to noon Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Sportsnet, as always, you can listen to us wherever you get your favorite podcast. Enjoy the baseball. Have a great day. We'll chat tomorrow.